Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:45 p.m. on Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary. Make sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Chloe Miller from that Juno LIO who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tilton, Senator Stevens, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. The first item on our agenda is House Bill 93, Residency Requirement, Hunting, Trapping, Fishing, sponsored by Representative Hemschut. This is the fourth hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. It is my intention to look to the will of the committee to move out House Bill 93, but first I would like look to the will of the committee to adopt work draft version G as our working document. Senator Stevens, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt Senate CS for House Bill 93 Judiciary, work draft 34-LS0058-G as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Here to explain the summary of changes is Senate Judiciary Committee aide Brianna Kakarik. Ms. Kakarik, put yourself on the record and begin your summary.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. So in version I to version G of House Bill 93, we changed section 5 from version I. We deleted it. That former section had provisions related to allowing absences for eligibility for a permanent fund dividend. So we basically took out the pilot provisions that were seen in House Bill 295, and that resulted in a title change. So those are the changes from version I to version G.
Is there any other objection to the committee substitute? Hearing and seeing none, we've adopted the committee substitute as our working document. With the bill sponsor, any other questions for the bill sponsor or office? Any closing comments from the bill sponsor's office? Not required.
I could say one or two things.
Okay. Note Senator Tobin joined us at 1:47.
Thank you, Chair Klayman. Through the chair to the committee, thank you, Rebecca Hemschut from House District 2. I'm grateful for you taking up this bill and giving it a good look. This legislation creates an enforceable standard of 180 days or other. You can be absent more than that if you have an allowable reason to be absent. So we're trying to close a loophole that allows too many folks to be in the state hunting and fishing as a resident when in fact they're in the state very little time. So we wanted to just point out that we're really grateful for the change of the effective date, allowing Alaskans more time to adjust their calendars and recalibrate and arrange to be in the state 180 days investing in their communities. So thank you for hearing the bill.
I see no other questions. Senator Stevens might have a motion.
And Mr. Chairman, I move Senate CS for House Bill 93 Judiciary, Work Order 34-LS0058-G, with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
Hearing and seeing no objections, House Bill 93 has moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to fill out the paperwork. And while we're doing that, the next bill presentation folks can come forward. Back on record, the second item on our agenda is Senate Bill 252, Uniform Commercial Code Secured Transactions Electronic Records, sponsored by my office. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here to present the bill is my staff, Carly Dennis. If you would please put yourself on the record, you may begin your remarks.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, this is Carly Dennis, staff to Senator Klayman. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 252. The Uniform Commercial Code, or the UCC, is a set of rules governing commercial transactions that has been adopted in nearly identical form by all 50 states. Uniformity of law is essential for the interstate transaction of business, and because the UCC has been universally adopted, businesses can enter into contracts with confidence that the terms will be enforced in the same way by the courts of every American jurisdiction. Alaska first adopted the Uniform Commercial Code over 50 years ago, and the last time we updated the UCC was in 2013. And I think the sponsor statement said 2009, but it's 2013. As commerce evolves, the Uniform Law Commission and the American Law Institute periodically recommend amendments to the Uniform Commercial Code. SB 252 incorporates amendments recommended by the Uniform Law Commission and the American Law Institute in 2018 and 2022. The 2022 amendments create a new chapter governing controllable electronic records, or CERs, which includes digital assets like cryptocurrency and non-fungible tokens. The amendments provide for the concept of control of these assets, similar to the possession of a tangible asset. The 2022 amendments update several definitions to reflect changing technologies and make numerous statutory updates to outdated language. They also provide a transition period for the new rules to apply to protect parties who entered into transactions before the effective date. The 2018 amendments seek to resolve a potential conflict governing secured transactions in which a partnership or an LLC is pledged as collateral. If interest in a business is used to secure a loan and default occurs, business partners could be forced into business with a stranger, and the 2018 amendments seek to resolve this. 16 other states have adopted the 2018 amendments, and 32 other states have adopted the 2022 amendments. It's critical that Alaska adopt these updates to the UCC to keep our statutes aligned with the best practices used in the rest of the country. Adopting these amendments will promote commercial activity for emerging technologies and will provide a clear framework for our business community. It will help ensure that Alaska is open and ready for business. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Just could you repeat you said 16 other states have adopted one thing and another, what were the other states, the number of other states?
I believe it's through the chair to Senator Stevens. 16 other states have adopted the 2018 amendments and 32 other states have adopted the 2022 amendments. And I believe that's also the District of Columbia as well as the 22 other states.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. The first is, and I apologize as I've not been able to find it in the legislation, but does Alaska have the current legal infrastructure and mechanisms to enforce and adjudicate any of the laws around the controllable electronic records and other types of blockchain assets under this updated uniform code? Do we have that structure? It's a very unique dynamic, and I don't know how much work we've done statewide around digital currencies and virtual currencies.
Yeah, through the chair, I might defer to our invited testimony on that question. My understanding is yes, but I think he might be able to provide a better answer.
Thank you. And then one second question, Mr. Chairman.
Please, Senator Tobin.
You mentioned in your opening remarks that someone under the previous uniform codes and now will be corrected in this update could be forced into business with a third party that they did not start the business entity with. What is the resolution?
Through the chair, I think once again, our invited testimony should be able to provide a little more information. My understanding is that it involves dividing the governing interest from the economic interest, but I'll defer to him.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, I'd like to go to our invited testimony, Benjamin Orzeski, Chief Counsel to the Uniform Law Commission. Mr. Orzeski, please put yourself on the record, and you may begin your testimony. And if you want to, you can answer Senator Tobin's questions in your testimony, or we can repeat the questions after you're finished with your remarks.
Thank you, Chair Klayman, Vice Chair Keel, members of the committee. Senate Bill 252 enacts the latest amendments to the Uniform Commercial Code, or UCC. Although it's state law, the UCC has effectively been the commercial law of the land in the United States since it became law in all U.S. jurisdictions since the 1960s. governing both business-to-business as well as consumer transactions. The UCC governs sales and leases of goods, bank collections, drafts and deposits, electronic funds transfers, letters of credit, investment securities, and secured lending transactions in which the personal property is used as collateral. When you buy products on Amazon or eBay, you don't have to worry about what state the seller is in because the governing law, the UCC, is the same in every state. This uniformity of commercial law is why American consumers and businesses have confidence to do business with strangers across state lines, and it has allowed our commercial markets to develop and thrive. Let me get to Senator Tobin's two questions. If I understood the first question correctly, it was whether or not Alaska has legal infrastructure in place to enforce the law of controllable electronic records. This legislation will provide that infrastructure. Any litigation involving transactions involving controllable electronic records, which are things that live on a blockchain currently, including virtual currencies, NFTs, electronic payment rights, smart contracts. If there is litigation in place, the law is unclear, Alaska law is unclear right now, as to what the respective rights are of the parties to transactions involving these types of assets. This new Article 12 of the UCC on controllable electronic records exactly is the purpose of it is to provide more clarity in that area of the law. So it should not only provide the structure for Alaska courts to enforce these transactions, it should help to prevent litigation in the first place by making the rules clear. And the second question, if I understood Senator Tobin, about how could somebody be forced into business with someone against their will? So here's a quick example to illustrate. Senator Tobin, let's say that you and I are business partners together, and I go and take a personal loan and pledge my business interest as collateral, and I default on the loan, and the bank repossesses the collateral. What this amendments will make clear is that I can only pledge my financial interest in the business. I cannot pledge my management rights in the business. So in the event of my default in that example, the bank would be entitled to any profits of mine from the business, but they would not be entitled to participate in any management decisions with the other partners. I hope that answers the questions, and I stand available for other questions if there are any. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Orzeski? Mr. Orzeski, this is the chair. I do have one question. In terms of Uniform Commercial Code and when it shows up in court, is that typically between two private parties that are having commercial disputes, or is it a place in which it's common for states and their attorney general's office to be involved in actions involving private parties, but that the state is not a party to the transaction?
No, most often these would, the Uniform Commercial Code governs private transactions between private entities, either businesses or individuals. So generally, if it would, there was a lawsuit involved, it would be a private lawsuit between private parties.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. So what we're going to do is set Senate Bill 252 aside for further review. The next hearing, we will certainly take up public testimony on Senate Bill 252. Thank you very much. The third and final item on our agenda is House Bill 20, Prohibit Fees for Paper Documents, sponsored by Representative Sadler. And are you? We'll take a brief at ease. We're working on House Bill 20, Representative Sadler. First hearing of the bill. Here to present the bill is Representative Sadler and his intern, Kai Alohi Elkins. Representative Sadler and Mr. Elkins, if you would please come forward, put yourself on the record. You can begin your remarks.
Goodness. Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Dan Sadler, Representative, House District 24, Chugiak River, Birchwood, Thunderbird Falls, Peters Creek. Pardon me if I'm a little out of breath. I just sprinted up the stairs, wanted to make sure and be here. But it is a pleasure to be here to see a House
Representative
bill.
Sadler, it's just a sign you haven't been spending enough time at the gym if you're breathing that hard coming up the stairs.
I'm caught out. You're right. Need to do more UCLAs.
Please proceed.
Thank you for the chance to. Thank you. It's a, seriously, sincerely, is a pleasure to bring House Bill 20 before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this bill would prevent businesses operating in Alaska from charging a fee to customers who prefer to get their invoices or statements or other documents in the traditional way, on paper, through the mail. We've no doubt experienced that more and more banks and credit unions, insurance companies, utilities, other businesses are pushing people to abandon paper and do business online. To do so, they either charge customers a monthly fee or offer a discount to go paperless. Now, these fees can be from $3 to $5 per month per bill every month. One telecom company, Verizon, charges $40 a month. And there is nothing that says they can't impose such bills or such fees or raise them with no limit. So, however, not every Alaskan can do business on the Internet. About 200,000 Alaskans may have Internet access, but it's slow, below the federal minimums, and maybe unreliable. You know, we had experiences here with the fiber optic cable being cut. Even at the capital of the state, we did not have Internet. And 20,000 Northwest Alaska residents have lost Internet access when sea ice cut their fiber optic cable. And about 60,000 Alaskans have no Internet access at all. In addition, not every Alaskan wants to do business on the Internet. There is more than 100,000 Alaskans who are 65 or older. I just joined that club. And these are people who are comfortable with doing business on paper and unlikely at that stage of life to want to change. And many other Alaskans are more likely on are likely to be on fixed incomes and less likely to bear the costs of those extra fees. In summation, Mr. Chair, it's simply not really fair to charge an extra fee to people when they just can't do business online, especially when businesses have been doing business on paper for decades without a fee. Thank you for hearing my presentation. Look forward to hearing any questions. Be glad to answer them in the closing arguments. Thank you.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Sadler. I have a deep interest in this legislation as a situation that you actually just arose impacted my father. He lives in Nome, was affected by the cut of the deep seawater cable, and unfortunately wasn't able to get a copy of his property tax insurance that was being canceled because of some of the impacts that are happening in our western areas of Alaska. So I very much support the underlying premise of the legislation. However, I have a question on the definitions. So I noticed that the legislation is missing a definition section. I went and looked under the Title 21 statutes. 21.36.310 lists definitions for insurance, but not listed in there is home insurance or any type of property insurance. So I'd be curious or would be happy to work with your office on making sure we have a good comprehensive definition.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Tobin. I appreciate your sharp-eyed look at the bill. Some people ask questions, why is there a separate section for insurance? Because our state law treats insurance differently. I would be glad to work with you to make sure the definition properly covered home insurance as well. I thought you were going to ask me the definition of what business is. And if I may take the opportunity, a business is something that operates in Alaska providing services in return for financial remuneration. State government does not qualify as a business, so there are no fees charged for getting paper documents. This bill would not prohibit the state from charging fees for paper documents.
Not the question answered, asked, but we'll take it. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Just an observation from my own life, Representative Sadler. I, I find that if I get a bill in the mail, I spend more time looking at it carefully. If I get it as a email, I get 50, 60, 100 emails a day, and you click through them pretty fast. You think, I'm going to go back and look at it in detail, but you sometimes don't. So I think there's a much closer look at a paper bill than there is that something comes online. So I appreciate, as one of your elderly population, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
One question. Under the legislation, it prohibits increase charging a fee for the paper statement. But is there anything in the legislation that would prevent a business from giving a reduced fee if you went, if you chose to go online, electronic, I should say?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a real fair question. It's one that has been asked. And what the bill does, it actually would bar a disparate charge. And certainly if you give everyone a discount and you pay the standard, the regular fee, then you are being charged more a disparate fee. So the net effect, whether it's a discount to go paperless or an additional charge to go with paper, it is still a disparate charge, and that bill would prevent that.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. So we're going to go to, and we have no invited testimony, so we're going to go to public testimony. I will open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony on House Bill 20? Hearing and seeing no one, will go online. And the first person we have is Ryan Ponder. Mr. Ponder, if you would put yourself on the record. If you're on a speakerphone, please take it off speakerphone, because it's often difficult to hear when you're on a speakerphone. And your testimony will be limited to 2 minutes, and please identify any affiliation you may have.
Chair Clayman and members of the committee, my name is Ryan Ponder, Vice President of Legal, Regulatory, and Government Affairs for Matanuska Telecom Association in Palmer, Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. MTA appreciates the intent behind HB 20 and the desire to ensure that all Alaskans receive important billing information in a way that works for them. However, MTA must respectfully oppose the bill due to several practical and unintended consequences. Paper billing carries real and unavoidable costs, printing, postage, materials, and processing that simply do not exist with electronic billing. In today's digital environment, businesses are able to manage costs and keep rates lower by encouraging online billing while still preserving paper billing as an option for customers who need or prefer it. A key flaw in HB 20 is that it does not eliminate these costs. It only shifts them. If businesses are prohibited from recovering the cost of paper billing from customers who choose that option, those expenses are instead spread across the entire customer base, including customers who already receive bills electronically. That effectively results in cross-subsidization and higher costs for everyone. Additionally, the bill removes an important incentive for digital adoption. Electronic billing improves efficiency, reduces environmental impact, and allows businesses to redirect savings towards customer service, infrastructure, and reliability, particularly important in Alaska's high-cost operating environment. HB 20 discourages those efficiencies by treating all delivery methods as if they impose the same cost when they clearly do not. Our company continues to offer paper billing. A modest cost-based fee simply reflects the actual expense of providing that service and preserves customer choice without distorting pricing. MTA believes flexibility rather than a one-size-fits-all mandate better balances consumer protection, affordability, and sustainable business operations. For these reasons, MTA respectfully opposes HB 20 and encourages considerations of alternatives that protect customer access while still recognizing real cost differences in how services are delivered. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I see no questions.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand, Senator Stevens.
No, I didn't raise it.
Oh.
Well, thank you. There's a question. We were talking about the scrutiny that of paperless versus paper. Can you tell me then with any confidence that the people who read your bills scrutinize them in the same way, whether you are getting it on paper or online? Do you have any way of telling us what the reaction is among your customers?
Through the chair to Senator Stevens, as far as the reaction for those that are charged, look, I don't know that it's something that people enjoy receiving. Nonetheless, they have the opportunity. We make it available to them, paper copies being made available for all of our customers.
Well, thank you. Again, I think that scrutinizing is going to be much higher when you get something in paper than you do online with hundreds of other emails.
Thank you. I see no other questions. Next is Christine O'Connor. Ms. O'Connor, if you want to identify yourself for the record and any affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Kleinman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christine O'Connor. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Telecom Association. ATA represents the telecommunications providers that serve communities across Alaska. ATA has concerns with House Bill 20. Today, modest paper billing fees allow companies to recover the cost of providing that service. If HB 20 prohibits that, those costs remain and the provider must recover them. In effect, customers who choose electronic billing would subsidize those who request paper billing. I would also like to briefly clarify the point that was raised by the bill sponsor that companies are charging $40 for paper bills. No Alaska telecommunications provider assesses a $40 charge, no ATA member company. Paper billing fees where they exist are modest, $2 to $3, and intended to recover the actual cost of printing and mailing. This issue is particularly important for small and rural providers who operate in high-cost environments with limited economies of scale. Tools like cost recovery for optional services help them manage expenses and keep rates as affordable as possible. HB 20 also raises some regulatory concerns. The bill would make violations an unfair trade practice, adding legal risk to routine billing functions. Providers already operate with a high level of government oversight, and this would introduce additional complexity. In closing, we believe HB 20 would increase costs, reduce flexibility, and disproportionately impact providers serving rural Alaska. We respectfully urge the committee to carefully consider these impacts, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. O'Connor. We have one question, Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. O'Connor. Out of curiosity, for your entity, do you offer subsidies or waive fees for folks who maybe are disabled or visually impaired, or perhaps are older persons who are unable to meet even a $2 or $3 because they're on a fixed income?
Through the chair, thank you for the question, Senator Tobin. The Federal Lifeline Program would step in and assist those customers, so low-income customers can have their bill reduced to a dollar in most cases, dollar or change. So, yes, there is a program to offset those costs.
Follow up?
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. But you as an entity don't provide any services. You require the federal government to subsidize this.
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, this is probably a better question for each individual company. Every company is going to manage this differently.
She's the association. She's not a company.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
I'll pass.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Ms. O'Connor, where does the funding for the Federal Lifeline phone program come from?
The chair, Senator Keel, it's a line item on your bill titled the Universal Service Fund. This is a nationwide program that supports affordability, deployment, a range of telecommunications services in rural and high-cost areas.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just comment that
Senator Keel
sounds like a beneficial cross-subsidization.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
I realize that you are an association rather than an individual company, but can you tell us, or is it possible to get information on the percentage of people that go paperless versus paper? I mean, is it like 50-50? Is it 80% paperless? Can you give us that sort of information? You probably don't have that, but maybe some of your clients could give that to us.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I do not have that information at my fingertips, but that is something I would be happy to circle back with our member companies.
That would be valuable. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no other questions from Ms. O'Connor, next is Sarah Rasmussen, calling from Anchorage. Ms. Rasmussen, and please state any affiliation.
Good afternoon, Chair Klayman and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Sarah Rasmussen. I'm the Government Affairs Director at GCI, and I'm speaking on behalf of GCI in opposition to House Bill 20. GCI has served Alaskans for more than 40 years and has invested over $4.7 billion in our network to provide the highest level of service possible, particularly in communities that may not otherwise have reliable connectivity. We support efforts to ensure customers are treated fairly. However, House Bill 20 creates unnecessary government involvement and routine business decisions that companies are best equipped to manage. Telecommunications companies in Alaska operate in some of the highest cost service environments in the nation. Every element of service delivery, including transportation, logistics, power, and ongoing maintenance, is simply more expensive here, and those costs increase with distance and remoteness. For providers who mail thousands of billing statements every month, the cost of printing and postage is substantial and continues to grow. At its core, House Bill 20 inserts the state into basic business decisions that are best made by providers who are responsible for managing real operational costs in a uniquely challenging environment. Businesses, not government, are best positioned to determine how to structure administrative practices in a way that remains efficient, transparent, and sustainable. In closing, I want to emphasize that protecting consumers and ensuring fairness are very important objectives of GCI. However, House Bill 20 risks raising costs for customers who do not use paper billing, increases pressure on rural providers, and adds unnecessary government involvement into essential business operations. I respectfully urge the legislature to reconsider this bill, work directly with affected industries to develop solutions that preserve customer choice without jeopardizing affordability or operational flexibility. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you very much. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Sarah. Good to hear from you. Can you give us a breakdown on the number of your customers, the percentage maybe who go paperless versus paper?
So I am working with my team right now to find that. As soon as you guys asked the question, I tried to start digging it down for you. I don't have the direct answer yet, but I will provide that in writing to the committee.
Thank you, Sarah.
Let's see. Any other questions? Next in the queue, Katie Capozzi, calling from Anchorage. Ms. Capozzi, and please identify any affiliation.
Chair Klayman and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I serve as the President and CEO of the Alaska Chamber. I testify today in opposition of House Bill 20. The Alaska Chamber is Alaska's largest statewide business advocacy organization. Our mission is to promote a healthy business environment in Alaska. The Chamber has more than 700 members and represents businesses of all sizes and industries from across the state, representing 58,000 Alaskan workers and more than $5 billion in annual wages. While we support the goal of consumer protections and equitable access, we are concerned that the bill could impose broad new mandates on businesses, particularly in industries that are already highly regulated. House Bill 20 would increase compliance costs for businesses by introducing new administrative requirements, including provisions related to paper document fees and expanded unfair trade practice claims. These added obligations would be particularly burdensome for small and mid-sized businesses that operate with limited staff and tight margins. Additionally, the bill creates regulatory uncertainty around how these provisions would be defined, implemented, and enforced, making long-term planning more difficult for employers considering investment or expansion in Alaska. For these reasons, the Alaska Chamber respectfully urges you to reconsider House Bill 20 and instead work with Alaska's business community to identify balanced approaches that protect consumers without creating unnecessary barriers to economic stability and growth. Thank you for considering the Alaska Chamber's comments.
Thank you, Ms. Capozzi. I don't see any questions, but I have a question about the cost. I don't know if it's cost shifting or not, but let's say that a business – this bill becomes law, and let's say a business that was getting 75% online through advertising and nudging, as I often see when I get online bills or go on to some of the online provisions, they say sign up for electronic documents. If that company is successful, even with this bill in place, of going from, say, 75% electronic to 90% electronic, isn't the company still going to be achieving savings because they have added more people to the electronic document world?
Senator Klayman, I would assume the answer, I think the answer to that question is yes. That certainly has logic. So I would assume yes. I don't know that for sure, but
okay.
I believe so.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see any other questions. Next in the queue is Heather Kavanaugh calling from Anchorage. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Chair Klayman and members of the Judiciary Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today on House Bill 20. My name is Heather Kavanaugh, Vice President of External Affairs at Alaska Communications, an Alaska-based broadband provider with more than 120 years of history serving Alaskans. Like many businesses, we have evolved as customer preferences and technology have changed, including transitioning to electronic billing. Today, electronic billing and payment are the norm for most customers and businesses, and they allow companies like ours to operate more efficiently and keep costs down for our customers. At Alaska Communications, those efficiencies translate directly into lower and more predictable rates for our customers, including a flat monthly rate that does not fluctuate with usage. Rather than spreading the higher cost of printing, materials, postage, and fulfillment across all customers, we charge a $3 fee only to those who choose to receive a mailed statement. From a consumer fairness perspective, this approach ensures that customers are not paying for services they do not use while still preserving choice for those who prefer paper billing. We are concerned that House Bill 20 may unintentionally undermine this balance, increasing costs for all customers and limiting flexibility for service providers. We respectfully ask the committee to consider whether the bill could produce unintended cost impacts without meaningfully improving consumer protection. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kavanaugh, if memory serves, ACS doesn't charge a surcharge or a convenience fee to take a credit card payment. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's my understanding. However, I would want to fact check that with our team and get back to you to confirm.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall seeing one on my bill when I pay it. And the reason I ask is that if assuming that ACS, being a big customer, gets better rates from the company than I do, it still comes to more on my bill for internet and landline than the paper bill fee I pay. But I don't get the option of avoiding that. That when I mail them a check, unless Ms. Kavanaugh, has that changed? When I mail checks in, do I get a discount of the credit card processing fee that's otherwise absorbed?
Just to clarify, you're asking if you get a discount if you mail in a check?
Yes.
No, you do not.
Okay, so I guess the question then would be that when I mail in a check, I am providing that cross subsidization to those who prefer to use a credit card, whether for their convenience, whether for the points or other rewards it gives them, but they elect to get those benefits for which I partially pay in that scenario. Well, that seems unobjectionable, but folks who choose to get electronic bills somehow are objectionably subsidizing those who get a paper bill. I'm a little lost.
what I was trying to point out is that we have really tried to improve process and reduce cost from our business in order to pass those savings on to customers and keep our rates as low as possible. I'm sure you all understand how expensive it is to operate in a state our size with the geographic range and the limited population. And so we just look for ways to be efficient. And one of those was moving to electronic billing, offering paper billing for those who like it. And as you all know, the cost of even purchasing paper, printing, postage, all of the supplies and processing is extremely expensive. And it's just a one way to recover that cost.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. I guess it's an intriguing dichotomy where sometimes it's okay for some people to subsidize others, and sometimes it's not. And I'm a little lost, but I appreciate the answers.
Thank you. I don't see other questions. I did want to ask the $3 charge that ACS would include if I get a paper bill. Does that accurately reflect the total cost of producing and delivering the paper bill on a per customer basis, or is that, yeah, how does that compare to the actual cost?
Yes, thank you for the question. It is really just meant to recover the cost. It's not generating any additional revenue.
Right, but my question is, does it actually cover the cost? Are you charging $3? But in fact, I know even with bulk mail type rates, it's about 50, 60 cents per letter. So once you've printed a few pages and got some envelopes and the cost of whatever machines to do that may well be more than $3. Do you know if the actual cost is $3, or is the $3 less than the actual cost, if you know?
Team's estimate is that we're not fully recovering the cost, but that it costs more than the $3 per paper statement that's mailed out.
So in effect, even with the $3 fee paid by people that get a paper bill, what you're testifying today is that the other customers, even today, are paying something to cover the cost of paper bills for those that receive them.
Potentially, yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
To follow up on that question, what stops you from increasing that charge from $3 to whatever? I mean, who decides what that charge should be?
Our goal is really to try to keep costs as low as possible for all customers, and the $3 fee seems like a reasonable amount to charge to recover as much of the cost as we can without having to increase that fee much.
Thank you. That's simply a decision the company makes, whether it's $3 or $5 or $20. You make that decision, and that's what your customers have to pay, right?
Correct.
The RCA doesn't have to approve that $3 fee?
The RCA does not have to approve that fee.
So the RCA gets to determine what is a fair rate for the telephone service and different line items that show up on the bill. But when it comes to the $3 paper fee, they have no role in that process.
They do not oversee that process.
Thank you. All right. I do not have anybody else online. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony? Hearing and seeing no one, I'm going to close public testimony on House Bill 20. Representative Sadler, would you or your staff like to make any final comments before we set the bill aside?
I appreciate it, Mr. Chair. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, if I may, there were a couple of points raised in the testimony. I wonder if I might address those at this point, or would you?
That's your privilege. It's your bill. Go ahead.
Appreciate that, sir. I've heard some of the challenges to the bill from trade groups and so forth, and I do have I don't know if I can specifically address each of them, but one general theme was that doing paper costs money, and we heard that there's not an accurate or a thorough charge for the $3 fee or $5 fee. I would note that under current law, there is no fee whatsoever. There has required to be no nexus between the fee they charge and the actual costs. Anybody who's done mass mailing knows you don't put 55-cent first-class stamps on them. If you have 10,000 bills to put out or 1,000, it gets down to 17.5 cents real quick. I would say that paper has long been the default for decades, for for as long as I've been alive and doing business, that's been the default, and that cost has been baked in. And I would like to ask the people testifying, when did they make that shift to begin doing paper? I didn't hear any of the testifiers identify how they provide services to people that do not have internet access. And again, those people are subject to these paper fees for paper without any recourse. I've heard the allegation that this creates a new complex billing system. I would challenge that no, paper is and by mail is a tried and true system. It is not complex. It's been done for decades. I heard the challenge that government should not tell business how to operate. Well, Mr. Chair, we have an entire chapter of state law about unfair trade practices. You must advertise products properly. You cannot sell beef at steak prices. You have to verify the odometer is correct. You cannot operate fraudulently. Government does guide business. It's not total laissez-faire. Actually, the question about whether mailing bills as part of the rate case is an aspect I had not considered, but I'm going to look into that more myself. There was a question raised about it's unsure how to enforce, what the enforcement mechanism would be. It would be consumer complaints, just like any other unfair trade practice. We're not going to create phone bill police. That's just simply not going to happen. I heard the challenge that this bill creates unnecessary barriers to service. Mr. Chairman, the fees represent barriers. Not allowing fees is eliminating barriers. Another point is if there is a savings to the consumers for going to online versus paper, I have never seen a notice on any billing I've gotten where there's a discount for going online. And I confess most of my stuff is done on paper, but I do a couple online things. I've never seen you save this much. And if digital, I've heard the allegation that doing digital does cost money. I've not seen that the businesses charge a fee to provide digital service. So if we're trying to recover the actual cost, and there's a cost to provide paper, and there's a cost to provide digital, I don't see any charge for providing digital. So there's a certain level of, I would call, inconsistency in some of the obligations. And again, I would notice that this is a fee for people that cannot avoid the fee. If you want to do business with a company, with a utility company, and you do not have internet access, you must go to paper, and therefore you must pay a fee. And that just does not seem fair. And a general wrap-up statement I'll say to those of us who are more wise and mature that this is an issue that may fade in 25 years, and the people that want paper bills may go away entirely. But until that time, I think it's still proper and appropriate to respect people's preferences and abilities to comply or inabilities to comply with the conditions of fees for getting paper documents. So I appreciate the chance to speak at length about this, but thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. And Representative Saddle, just be assured that neither Senator Stevens nor I will hold your youth and inexperience against you.
Thank you, Vice President Mondale. Or me. I was Reagan Mondale.
We're going to set Senate Bill 20 aside for further review, and we will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting will be on Monday, March 30th at 1:30 p.m. We're not meeting this Friday. If anyone is considering an amendment for either Senate Bill 252, UCC, Secured Transactions, Electronic Records. Actually, that's the only bill we're asking for amendments to, sponsored by my office. Please let our office know and submit them electronically by Friday, March 27 at 5 p.m. And if you do have more questions about the Uniform Commercial Code, you're certainly welcome to give me a call. I know more about it than I might acknowledge at times. With that, we stand adjourned. The time is now 2:34 p.m.